following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Can you imagine a world where everyone knows they can make a difference? What if controversy is your ticket to success and new possibilities, to being a leader in creating a different reality? Do you have the courage to create something greater than has ever existed before? This is The Value of Controversy, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Join us now for the tools, techniques, and awareness you need to create a world that you would be grateful to live in. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome, everyone, to The Value of Controversy. I'm Marilyn Bradford. I am an Access Consciousness facilitator. And my co-hosts joining me for today's show are Tamara.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, and Jonas.
Yay!
Yay! We're really excited to be here with you today. And today's show is about what to do when things go wrong. How to use everything to your advantage. And I'll just go ahead and read the write-up because I think that's a good place to start. When things don't turn out the way you expected, when something occurs that you judge as bad, wrong, or terrible, what do you do? Do you go into trauma, drama, and upset? Do you hold on to a glum, angry, or depressed attitude? What if there was a different possibility? What if you could ask questions and gain a different perspective on any event? Everything can be a contribution, even those things that may seem terrible in the moment. Yippee! So before we begin, I just wanted to remind you that if you would like to connect with us between shows, we have a Facebook page called The Value of Controversy, and you can follow us on Twitter at @V_O_C, or you can send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. We also welcome you to call in. We've really been enjoying some people who've called in our past shows, and that number is 1-888-346-9141. So once again, 1-888-346-9141. Okay, well, let's get started. One of the things that occurred to me when I was rereading this is that most of us, and I thought this might be a good place to start, most of us are told and make ourselves the effect of situations, what people say, what quote happens in our lives. And from that, we then decide we have to be glum, or we have to be angry, or we have to create drama. So, Tamara and Jonas, is that something that's shown up for you?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. And you know what? What I've become aware of the last couple of years is how we're actually entrained to at every time judge if something is good or if it's bad. And by doing that, we seem to create these things that, okay, so that was apparently not good based on the result that it should not have been, and it should have been another result, so this is apparently not good. And then we start creating the trauma and drama that it should actually be from having that disaster happening or that wrong choice happening, almost to prove that it was actually wrong. It's weird.
Exactly.
It's really weird.
I find that anywhere it reveals to me my expectations a lot of times. If I'm reacting to something in a negative way, it often indicates that I've had some sort of expectation around how it should have gone. And I know for me, expectation is basically poison. Anywhere where there's expectation in my life, it's this silent killer that kills whatever wherever it exists, either quickly or slowly, but it always eventually kills it. So I will pod and pock anywhere where I have projections or expectations, where I've created separation, where I have rejections, judgment, or conclusions around any area where I find that there's reaction showing up because I've got an expectation of how something should go or should be.
Yeah, cool. And those expectations, they are always based on what would be right and what would be wrong, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just creating this universe where we must go to some sort of judgment if it's either good or bad or right or wrong.
Well, okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate a minute, because I know a lot of people will say things to me like, well, Marilyn, how do you live life without expectations? So what would you say?
Practice. It's funny because I have actually had people say that to me many
yeah.
times, and I go, well, first of all, I have to notice. The first step to anything is creating the invitation that I would like to notice where I've created expectation in my life, because if I don't first notice it, I can't actually choose to change it.
Yes.
So it starts by simply noticing where have I inflicted expectation into areas of my life.
So people would say, but shouldn't we have expectations, say, of other people? Or
only if you want to be miserable.
Oh, well, that's a good one.
Because I really realized that everywhere I was creating misery, and believe me, I really got, thank you, Gary Douglas, that I was the one creating my own misery, a lot of it had to do with where I had expectations about what should be. And so I was going into reaction around that because of the expectations. So, it's, again, even expectation is not right or wrong necessarily. It's simply, if you're finding yourself living at the effect of that expectation by creating a lot of misery for yourself, you might want to choose to change that.
Yeah, and also the thing that I found with them is if I have an expectation, then nothing even better than that can show up.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a container. It's a trap. Yeah,
it's a trap.
Exactly.
It's a total trap, because when you have that expectation, you only aim for that. That is your target. So you actually exclude all the other possibilities that might show up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
you go.
Oh, I'd like to think that I'm in a place in my life now where I'm actually choosing beyond result. So if I have an expectation, that expectation is attached to a particular result I've decided is the thing that's going to either solve the problem or make me happier, or I'll feel better if I have or if I can do or whatever. So what I do now is, rather than, create some sort of linear step-by-step in order to get to the outcome that I have now created as my expectation, I would much rather, and it's way more fun for me, to choose beyond that expectation, to choose beyond any result that my mind could possibly figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what stupidity are you using to create the expectations you are choosing?
Good one.
Hey, good one.
Everything that is, can we destroy and uncreate it times a godzillion?
Yes, please.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all in shorts, boys and beyond.
And
I found we can even expect how people are going to react. I remember once when I was pretty early on as a psychotherapist, and I had a client who came in and said that her father had died. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. That must be terrible. And she said, actually, it's a real relief. And, it changed my life in a way, because it was like, wow, I'm just operating out of these. Somebody dies, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Even more than expectations, it's almost like creating a trauma drama. It's like attaching events to trauma drama, or if this event happens, then you have to go into trauma drama or something like that.
There seems to be this collective interpretation that we've all aligned and agreed with, that if someone dies, that's a terrible thing.
Right.
So we've interpreted that to mean death equals terrible, and then we've collectively aligned and agreed with it. So you were just doing what was expected in this reality, is to share your sympathies when the thing we've all collectively agreed on was to be sad when someone dies. And it's a little bit crazy, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally. And the thing I got from it is, and this was even before Access, was to ask a question. So then someone would say somebody dies, and I'm like, well, how is that for you?
Yeah.
But then it translates to me too. So mm-hmm. something happens, I create it, and instead of going, I go, really, how is that for me?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Instead of going into that that conditioned response that we've all sort of bought into, the interpretation of how we should react when X occurs.
Yes, exactly.
It's like Pavlov's dogs. We're just a bunch of Pavlov's dogs going around reacting according to the way we've been taught we should.
Yeah, people don't get that all these emotional responses, most of them are on autopilot.
Exactly.
And when we are on that autopilot and that and those functioning from those conclusions, we're actually excluding all the possibilities to, you know, to perceive or to receive things differently. I love what you said, Tamara, about like it takes a little bit of a practice. And also when you Marilyn led it into like we have expectations on how people will react or what people will do, and actually when we have that, we're already projecting to them what they should be around us, so we're actually not giving them a possibility to be what they can be.
Yeah.
That's true. It's like that whole thing when you go home and you're an adult. You're a functioning adult. You support yourself.
Yeah.
You have friends and activities, and you go home and all of a sudden you're five. Because that's what everybody is projecting onto you. Oh, yes, little Kathy, you know, she does this and she does that. And you sort of, it's really easy to just go right into that.
It is.
And then you wonder why you get so annoyed.
Yeah, and maybe we should also say that, I so love what you said, Tamara, about it takes a little bit of a practice. And yes, it does. And, I mean, we're not in any way perfect people in any way. It's not that we never have any expectations, but what we know is that every time we have expectations on something, we end up being disappointment more than less.
Yeah, I know for me, like an example just happened yesterday. I was in New York City and I was planning to travel home yesterday, and I'm sitting in the airport, and my flight keeps, I keep getting emails that my flight is delayed 15 minutes and 15 more minutes and 15 more minutes and 15 more minutes. And I'm thinking, I have a connection that I need to make in another city in order to get home. And I'm watching these emails come through, and a lot of people would start right there. They would go right into the projection of like, oh my God, I'm going to miss my flight. Oh my God, I'm not, you know, my connection in the other city, and I'm not going to get home. And like they project into their future all the bad things or all the things they don't want to happen. When I'm sitting there in the airport right now, like in this moment, I could just be receiving what's occurring in this moment and start asking questions and be with that, or I can start projecting into the future of all the things that are going to make me upset about what could potentially happen, may never happen. I mean, I did make it home last night. Granted, it was a few hours later than I had hoped, but what it fascinates me is watching how people will project into their future all kinds of things that they worry about, because, you know, the bad things that they think might happen, and it's such a drain on our energy. It's like you can't really be present and focused on what's now, like, and start asking questions about what else is possible if you're constantly projecting into the future what could happen that you don't want to happen, and then you're in the misery and upset of that.
Yeah, and instead of even asking a question like, how much fun could it be to miss my plane?
Or what contribution could be missing my plane be to me? Maybe I'm going to meet somebody I wouldn't have otherwise met.
Yes,
maybe, I mean,
exactly.
Who knows? Like, I have no idea. But if I ask myself, well, what contribution could this delay in my plane be to me today?
Yeah. Well, we have one of our other facilitators, Leeson Benson, is got something that she would like to share with us. So welcome, Leeson.
Hi, it's Leeson and Ricky.
We're
on the same flight from Florida together. And it was more Ricky. He was talking and asking questions here, and I thought, like, let's contribute with this. So, Ricky,
sure.
Yeah, I had a question. And so I was listening. I've been listening to the show, and the talk about expectations, the awareness has been amazing. And then Tamara was talking, and she mentioned something about doing what's expected. And then I had this question, and I was curious, you know, what you guys know about this is, like, is there, or what is the connection between having expectations and doing what's expected?
Well, I guess for me, it's like my mother would have expectations of me growing up, and she would communicate them to me, sometimes verbally, but sometimes not, and then I would do what was expected. So, for instance, I grew up in an academic family on the East Coast. The expectation was that I would go to college, and I remember being aware that I wasn't really willing to have a choice in my universe other than doing what was expected. Now, looking back at it, Ricky, that's such a great question. I can see how anytime I've done what's expected, I've cut off all these other possibilities, and I've cut off my awareness of what might actually work for me.
The other thing that was true for me, Marilyn, was that living under the expectations of this reality actually excluded me entirely. Like, yeah. I didn't feel like I had the opportunity to choose what I desired or create what I desired as my life. I was always living up to the expectations of this reality, and they came from all kinds of directions, right? They came from the community I lived in, just society as a whole, being an American, growing up in my family, the school I went to. Like, there was just, I was living under the lead weight of expectation to do what was expected, and it was at the exclusion of me and my choice, it seemed like.
Yeah,
it always becomes an exclusion of you when you're functioning from expectations, because you always have to go into other people's universe and trying to figure out what they expect of you to be right in their universe. And you can only lose you in that process.
You kind of have to figure out the current people's judgment to be able to fulfill the expectations.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm hearing in this conversation is like, wow, expectations are really all about control. And so
Absolutely.
I'm looking at it and like, wow, everywhere I have expectations, it's where I'm trying to control something.
Me, somebody else, situation.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and limit it. Absolutely limit it. This is the only thing I will accept.
So it seems like the way we define expectations is really kind of a lie, you know? It seems like it's really about control.
Absolutely, and what I see as we relate with each other, anytime there's a particularly established relationship, and it doesn't, I'm not even speaking of just romantic, but if I have coworkers or friends, or, you know, it's like I'm entitled to have expectation as soon as there's been a relationship established. In other words, we don't function from being an allowance of other people's choices. We function from a space of how can I control you to be who I want you to be for me in my life.
And how much of that is actually what creates these expected responses to things, the trauma and drama and the upset and the, well, you should be depressed. We expect you to be depressed. Look at what's been going on for you. How could you possibly be happy? If you're being happy, there's something wrong with you. We would not expect you to be happy. I mean, it's pretty nutty.
And also, on the other side, to be a little bit controversial, it seems like if you're willing to be more aware with your expectations, you would actually allow yourself to be a little bit better at controlling people.
Good point, Ricky. I'll project some of those. That's the domination, manipulation, and control. That would be a good show, you know?
Dominated. Matrix.
Well, yeah, and the beauty of that is that nobody allows them to control. Nobody allows you to control them without their consent. So it's not even really possible to do that unless they're going along with it.
Yeah. Okay, you all. We're going to take a quick commercial break now, and I invite our listening audience to stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back with more of this. What fun!
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club. And each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. I'd like to talk to you a moment about hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure, one of the most judgeable offenses on planet Earth. Ever notice? How often do you allow yourself to choose something for the pure pleasure and joy of it, without judgment? How often do you choose to live your life from the adventure of what could show up, rather than the conclusion of what you or someone else decided it should be? What if every day you could wake up and ask, if I were truly living today, what would I choose right away? Join me for a 6-part teleclass series called 69 Shades of Hedonism. We'll unwrap the beauty and adventure of hedonistic living together. Are you ready to play? Oh, and a warning, if you'd rather feel dry and brittle rather than abundant and juicy and joyful, you should definitely refrain from signing up for this particular series. Participants may experience an increased level of pleasure in all areas of life. Are you willing to risk that? If so, go to drdanehere.com/teleclasses, drdanehere.com/teleclasses, and find out more. See you there. Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Marilyn Bradford, and I'm here today with Tamara Yonkers and Jonas Svensson, and we're talking about what to do when things go wrong, how to use everything to your advantage. And part of what we got into in the first part of the show was about expectations and what they created for us and didn't create and how they limited us and how we were, you know, expectations are often part of what creates the trauma drama for us. So I think, Tamara, you were talking about something related to that.
Yeah, just as we were breaking, I was a personal journey of mine through using the tools of Access Consciousness was that I became aware of how my family of origin was very, there was a lot of energy of force and there was a lot of energy of control. My father has a military background, so he pretty much was like, you're going to do what I say when I say it, and you're going to agree and align and agree with every point of view that I have. And he essentially didn't want children, he wanted clones. So, yeah, and I was, you know, I was forced to eat certain foods, and I was forced to, you know, practice the piano, and I was forced to do my homework, and I was forced, like, there was not a lot of autonomy built in my life. There was a lot of forceful energy. And what occurred for me as a result of that is I went into massive resistance and reaction to being controlled. Like, I became the rebel of magnitude. Like, I was rebellious to the point where even if something was would be a contribution to me or would have been in my best interest, I would rebel against it simply because if there was even the slightest hint where I detected that possibly someone even had the teeniest agenda of control or they were trying to force me into something, I would go into massive resistance and reaction. And what that created in my life was just living a life of defending against anywhere where there was the possible, where I felt a potential threat of being forced or controlled. The interesting thing about that is if you're going to create your own reality, it does require a certain level of direction taking, if you will. Like in your life, if you're going to create your own reality, there's a level of control that you want to have over how you're creating that, in a sense. And it gets a little sticky because I was a control freak of magnitude for a long time in my life. And that level of control when I was younger in my earlier life was all about controlling others to not be controlled, like to control situations so I could defend against ever being controlled, interestingly enough, or to just control things into that, you know, that conclusion that I thought was going to make me happy or, you know, the best result or things like that. Or the expectations that I had to control to receive the result that I expected, that level of control. Once I sort of abandoned all of that, I realized that there was so much I perceived all this external pressure on myself. It was that lead weight of expectation that I mentioned earlier. And when I realized, okay, that's I don't have to do that anymore. Like, I can stop resisting and reacting. I can stop rebelling. Then I realized that everywhere I had resisted being that energy of control, I was also not taking into directing the course of my life, not directing, you know, what do I want to create as my life? What do I want to? And so there, Ricky mentioned just at the brief moment, you know, using that to your advantage, like, what do you want to control in your life in a way that's about creating it? So there was almost like this hesitancy, this sort of waiting, or this energy of postponing things, because mm-hmm. I wasn't really ready to, like, you know, grab in there and take control, but not in the way that I used to. I hope I'm being clear. It's more about creating my life in a way that where I'm sitting in the driver's seat of my life. I was excluding myself by living at the, you know, resisting against all the expectations. So at the exclusion of me, I wasn't even really in the driver's seat of my life. And now I'm like, okay, I'm no longer living at the expectation of this reality. So what do I want to create? I've got to put myself back in the driver's seat of my life. And what do I want to create?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because we were talking earlier in the show about doing what's expected, which is the aligning and agreeing. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, takes you out of the computation of your life. But also, you know, just what you were talking about here, resisting and reacting takes you out of the computation of your life.
Completely. And
so what stupidity are you using to defend for and against the expectations you are choosing? And everything that is, can we destroy and uncreate at times a godzillion?
Yes.
Yes.
For right and wrong, good and bad, puck and pot, online choice, boys and beyonds. And just to, you know, reiterate that, anytime you're defending for or against anything, there's a judgment, there's a rightness and wrongness point of view, and you lock yourself up and you don't actually have choice then, and you can't go on to have a choice of how to be with any situation that mm-hmm. shows up or that you create. Mm-hmm. Now, we have another one of our wonderful facilitators, Ann Maxwell, and she's coming on to say a couple of things. Welcome, Ann.
Hi. Thank you, guys. This is just such an awesome, awesome, awesome conversation. And I was just thinking of the idea of control and all these ways of judgment and defending for and against thing. Aren't they really ways of taking us out of it's almost a ways of not being present in our lives?
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. And so the deal about being present is like Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, describes consciousness as being present, resisting nothing, judging nothing, and receiving everything. And so when we're doing all the stuff that we've been, I mean, you guys are awesome. When we're involved in all the things that we've been talking about, it really takes us out of our lives and back into the space of not being present and then missing so much of our lives, right? But
yeah.
I was just struck by the deal about being present and how cool that is, what an awesome space that is to be.
Well, and the thing is, when you're actually present, you can't go into trauma, drama, upset in intrigue, angry, glum, and wrong. You can't.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Because all of that requires a judgment.
Yeah.
You have to have already decided that something was bad and terrible in the past, and now you're in the present, but you can't be present because you're reacting to what's in the past, and then you're angry, sad, glum, or upset.
And it's also just like an event and an invention. It's not even real. Trauma and upset is never real. It's just something we're creating or inventing to basically destroy something or our future or our possibilities.
Or it's a great manipulation.
Yeah,
that too.
You know, I know as a woman, there have been times when I use tears.
Yeah. And you
but
know
it got
what?
Me what I wanted.
Isn't it funny? Yeah, but isn't it funny, too, how often we are manipulating ourselves into no possibilities?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good one. So what stupidity are you using to manipulate yourself into no possibilities? Are you choosing?
Yeah.
Everything that is, can we destroy and create that times a godzillion?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pocket pod, all in shorts, boys and beyond.
And I remember so well in my life, especially like if I go back 5 years or something, always functioning from the point of view that I had created a mess or that I had made the wrong decision. And, you know, we probably all have these like 3, 4, 5, or 10 things that we look back at our life and like, oh, that was a bad decision, or that I created totally wrong, and therefore I missed this possibility that I could have had otherwise. But the thing is, like, when I look back at them now, I totally can see how they actually contributed to me being where I am today.
Yeah, can you say more about that? Yeah.
Yeah. I had one thing, for example, like, I was really, like, so I was doing a lot of sports, and in one case, I was actually destroying my possibility for a career in that area by basically arguing with the wrong person, which was very interesting at the time because I basically had to pay for that because it was the wrong person. And I was obviously upset and drama and sad. And I started to basically create my life from that energy that I know destroyed my life, my career. But when I look back at it now, I'm truly grateful for actually what I created, because I was honestly asking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't see that possibility apparently without destroying it at that time. But
mm-hmm.
now I'm gratefully more aware. So it's more like if I look back at all the situations that I created in my life before, I can see how they have contributed to where I am today and to the awareness I have about what I want to create as my life, and where I have stuck myself into limitations, and all different things and possibilities that I see now. And I'm truly grateful for everything I've created in a totally different way.
Well, and I think that's, you know, that's one of the things that we really wanted to make. It's like, if you don't come to conclusion when you lose your job, I know one of the things I love that Gary Douglas says, if you get fired, go out and buy a bottle of the best champagne and have a wonderful dinner and celebrate. Because this is the start of a new life. And you have a new possibility that you didn't have when you were in your old job, because that had a lot of closure and boxes and stuff around it. I mean, Gary had to go bankrupt before he started Access. You know, and he basically went from, I don't know, he talks about making $100,000, $200,000 a year to making $4,000 a year, and they lost everything. But then he kept looking, asking questions, and he was looking at the energy, and he would get this energy, and he would follow whatever that energy was anytime it showed up, and that's what created Access. So, I mean, what a huge contribution. If he'd been, and you know, and I know from myself, too, there have been times when I've, quote, been really successful with something. If I hadn't had some kind of failure or glitch in it, I never would have had the awareness, and I probably would have kept on that path,
exactly.
Even though it wasn't ultimately that satisfying to me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've had experiences in my life where, again, going back to an expectation, like you have a job, I was fired from a job I don't know, 20 years ago or so, and the my boss, the owner of the company at that time, he was constantly telling his employees, you know, you could never get a better job elsewhere, this is the best you could get, and because I lived in a resort area. And then when I got fired, I was able to go have, you know, what do they call that, unemployment, and then I found a job that paid considerably more, and I thought, well, so much for his theory that I would never find anything better,
right?
And the opportunity that I had at that job after I got fired was enormous. Like it changed my life in many ways. It was a lot more responsibility, higher pay. I mean, there was just so much more about that job that I never, had I not gotten fired, I wouldn't have been seeking another job.
Right.
No, exactly. That's the thing.
And so it's like, where was I? We tend to, when something ends, it's like we have an expectation or we have a conclusion that it's going to last for however long we think it's going to last. And I have found myself, when there's been change in my life, whether it's loss or just some sort of change, and I go into that invention of upset, what I realized one time, because I started asking myself questions last year when I had a loss in my life, and I realized I had a loyalty to the conclusion.
Huh.
It was like I was so loyal to the conclusion that I almost couldn't let the upset go because of my loyalty to the conclusion. And as soon as I realized that, I was like, well, that's nuts. I mean, to have a loyalty to a conclusion is really going to create some, you know, invent some major upset in your life.
It is.
That's funny.
And you know what? Like, we have these great questions in Access. You know what's right about this that I'm not getting? It's a great question to use when you feel like something crappy is happening. And just asking, what contribution is this to my life living in reality? And like what you were talking about, Tamara, is like, if we're just aware of that, we are the creators of our lives. We are the ones that are creating our lives. And if we look at that and we don't function from that, we lost anything, or that, oh, I lost this and now my life is horrible. What if it's actually a creation? You actually created, like, let's say you created a lot of money going somewhere else. And what possibilities did that open up to, you know?
That was an open door to a much greater possibility, but how often do we see
exactly
the loss as an open door?
Exactly. So if we would start to be willing to not function from, like, lose or what we lost, and instead be in the question, you know, okay, so what contribution is this creation to my life living in reality and future?
And everything that is, right, wrong, good, bad, pot, only,
yeah,
choice, boys, and beyond. Well, you've just really made it clear, Jonas, that both of you, what you were saying, is that most trauma drama comes out of some idea of loss.
Yeah.
Or change. And what is loss but change?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's just change. And it's just a creation, something that we have created. If we start looking at our life from, like, we are the creators and we create everything, it will be so much easier to actually create something greater always.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I meant, Marilyn, when I said I realized I had a loyalty to become my conclusion, because
uh-huh,
my conclusion was that it wouldn't change. You know, I had a loss,
yeah,
and I was like, wait, that wasn't supposed to happen, right? Like, the loss, the change wasn't supposed to happen, and I couldn't seem to shake the invention of the upset that I kept. I was like, okay, I know that this is my creation. I know that my upset is, like, it was hanging on and it was hanging on, and I kept asking questions about it. And one day I got the awareness. I was like, oh, my God, because I have this really strong loyalty to this conclusion that it wasn't going to or shouldn't change.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And with that, our loyalty to our conclusions and our losses and all of that, we're going to take another quick commercial break now, but please stay tuned. We are just having a great time here, and we would love to have you back with us in just a couple of minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, I'm Marilyn Bradford with Tamara Yonkers and Jonas Svensson, and we're talking about what to do when things go wrong, how to use everything to your advantage. And over the break, we are having a pretty great conversation about choice, so I'd like to sort of pick it up where we left off on the break. And who would like to start?
Yeah, I can start with that, because I still remember one of the big things that was going on in my life for a long time was that I was functioning from the point of view that I missed a possibility to jump into the real estate market when it was a great time to do that. And for years and years and years, I was functioning from the point of view that I missed that possibility. And therefore, I started to create all this trauma and drama in my life and these limitations of that. Now I cannot earn money that easy, and I cannot create that. And you know that that's just choice. It's choice after choice after choice after choice after choice. It's like a million choice per day to hold on to that. It becomes this almost like an addictive point of view, where you hold on to that, you're right in your point of view. Instead of like what I do now is that I'm more looking into the question like, okay, so what can I choose instead? And like, what other choices do I have to actually create something that I would like? And what if that was not even relevant and not significant in any way? And it's just so interesting what we're doing with choice instead of being in the question, what else can I choose?
Yes, absolutely. But choice is a tricky one for people, I think. I mean, Tamara, you were saying something
yeah.
about that.
Yes. I was a very miserable person for a very long time. I was the walking, talking Eeyore, and this is something that I share quite publicly and openly because I know there's a lot of people out there that are, so it's like if there's a range of, you know, middle of the road and above that is increasingly greater levels of happiness and below that is increasingly greater levels of misery. I was way down in the bottom in the misery section and lived there quite happily, quite contently, because I didn't even know anything else was possible. And as I mentioned earlier in the call, during one of an Access class a couple of years ago, Gary delivered me a beautiful wedgie by directly asking me, when are you going to stop making yourself so miserable? And while at one point I wanted to fight him and be like, what are you talking about? I'm not creating it. I knew that there was truth in that. And so I sat with it and it created my choice to look at that and see where, in fact, I was the one creating my misery, brought some amazing awareness as I continued to ask questions around that. And I sort of realized that my identity was attached to where I was addicted to my self-pity, where I was addicted to my self-judgment, where I was addicted to my misery, and it was sort of like that's who I knew myself to be. So creeping up higher and higher on the other side of that, you know, into the happiness scale was when I first started in Access, there was facilitators who would say to me, you know, well, it's just a choice, it's just a choice, it's just a choice, and it made me want to punch them because I was way down in the bottom level of, you know, misery is what's real for me. So it took me some time to gradually recognize and look at everywhere where, in fact, I was actually making myself miserable and what I was choosing that was creating that misery in my life. And a lot of it was reaction. And over the course of the 3 years I've been in Access, I'm thrilled to say that misery is no longer my choice.
We're happy too, Tara.
And it really is possible because, you know, I see a lot of people who are in that place and they just cannot, like, there's a filter before them that doesn't allow them to see happiness as a choice. And so what I say to those people is you create a different possibility in your life with every single choice you make. So you may not go from the bottom depths of misery where I was to extreme happiness overnight, but if you make that demand, that non-negotiable demand to yourself that you want to change that misery in your life, then you can, with every choice you make, go in that direction and make that your target. And that's what I've done, and that's sort of what we're talking about on this call, is that every moment in your life is an opportunity, a possibility of choosing something different.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, like, if I think a big awareness here too, and a big piece of the puzzle is, if you're like Tamara, you're willing to acknowledge what you have created and what you are creating and what choices you are making and what choices you actually do to create what you're creating, it actually opens the door to start choosing something else.
Yeah.
But as long as we're fighting the choices instead of just acknowledge them, and we normally fight them because we judge them. But if we stop judging them and just acknowledge me, okay, so I'm apparently choosing misery here. Like, I'm choosing to be the walking, talking misery here. And, like, that actually opens the door.
Yeah.
That's when the door gets, like, to a possibility instead. Mm. I love that.
Yeah, because otherwise it's happening to me, or of course I'm miserable. This other thing happened, and there's no sense, there's no acknowledgement that you created what's going on and that you actually do have this choice. And it can be kind of fun to be miserable. I don't know, for maybe 30 seconds or a minute or two. Pouty poof as, oh, Mom, God, nobody loves me. Okay, I think I'll go do something else. That's boring. You know?
Well, and the beauty of it, Marilyn, was what I discovered of it was once I realized that misery was a choice, happiness was a choice, even if I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling crappy and I choose to indulge in feeling miserable for, you know, an hour or 10 seconds or whatever, I still get that that's a choice. So whenever I'm finished indulging in the misery I'm choosing, I can choose happiness in the very next moment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I love how you're like just acknowledging that. Actually, see, acknowledgement is actually just looking at what is. There's no judgment in that. And when you're saying that, Tamara, and I mean, I know you pretty well, too. I see that you actually are in judgment. But as soon as you're starting to acknowledge the fact what you're doing and creating, it actually starts, the judgment actually starts to fly out of your universe. And the door is open to change it. I love that.
That being the space of allowance for whatever you're choosing, no matter what that is.
Yeah.
Is the thing that truly allows you to choose something different. If I'm sitting there judging myself for what I'm choosing, then it makes it virtually, I mean, it takes a Herculean effort to change something you're judging. If I'm sitting here judging something that I'm choosing and something that I'm creating, it takes a Herculean effort to get out of that versus if I just go into, just say, okay, well, that's what I'm choosing. Doesn't matter why. I simply am aware that I have been choosing that. I have been creating that. So what would I like to choose differently? What would I like to create differently now? And then the space to create something different is ease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when you start inviting the possibilities again,
mm-hmm.
from that allowance.
Absolutely.
The only thing it takes is a strong talk.
With yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
A strong talk with yourself. Okay, Marilyn.
I admittedly have had several of those strong talks with myself where there's, I get to the point where I've backed myself in a corner and I'm like, you know what? This sucks. This really sucks.
Yeah.
I think one of the ones that showed up recently for me was realizing how I was creating a ton of scarcity around time. I found myself continually saying things like, I don't have enough time, there's not enough time, if I had time. I was like, good God, really? Like, how much longer am I going to live at the effect of time? So I was the one creating the scarcity around the time, and I said, you know what? Enough. I made the non-negotiable demand, the insistent urgency that this change now.
Yeah.
Because, of course, now is the time.
Now is the time. But making that demand is so crucial. Because if you don't make that demand, if you're just waiting for it to happen, you're not actually stepping into truly being the creator source of your life.
Yeah.
And, as you said, you make the demand. It may not change overnight. But from that demand, you set yourself up to make choices that bring that to pass.
Right. You set your target, and with every choice you make, you choose in the new direction, and before you know it, you've got a whole new life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Before you know it. Before you know it, you have a whole new life. Yeah, but that's so true. When we start to take that step and make a different choice, it goes so much faster than we could have ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it does. So Anne, I think, has something else to contribute here. Anne?
Yeah, hi. I was just wanting to add something to, I can't even remember. This is just an awesome, awesome show. But the allowing yourself to be with whatever choice you make, like being in a space of allowance for yourself, when you do that, isn't it really only then when you step out of judgment of yourself and into that space of allowance that you get to tap into the energy of whatever it is that you're choosing, whatever that is going to create for you. But and so when you're in the space of allowance, you get a sense instantly of what it is that you're actually creating, and then you get to choose, okay, I'm going to continue to choose to be miserable, or I'm going to choose something else.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to do that if you're still judging yourself or you're afraid of being judged by other people.
Judgment
Absolutely.
Is the killer. The
yeah,
limitation,
awesome.
The killer, the everything else. They should ban judgment instead of, like, banning handguns.
Yeah, because when you're in allowance, you actually have the capacity to actually perceive and be and receive everything. And when you're in judgment, you don't have the capacity to perceive, no, be, and receive anything.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, you're on conclusion lockdown.
Conclusion lockdown. You're in the conclusion jail, the lockdown. Absolutely.
No possibilities for you.
No possibilities.
Conclusion lockdown.
And it's so easy for me to laugh about that now because I live there.
Yes.
And I remember what that was like.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, it's not about getting it perfect or right.
No.
Or judging that you're not. It's about, oops, there I go again. Okay,
yeah.
I can do something about that.
God,
I can make a different choice. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap up our show. This has been just a blast, and I really want to thank my co-hosts, Tamer Yonkers and Jonas Svensson, for being on the show today, and also Ann Maxwell and Lisa Benson and Ricky Williams, who also joined us. And please, you can check us out, connect with us on Facebook at The Value of Controversy, and follow us on Twitter.
And also email us at radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. So today was great. Really did have a lot of fun. And I also would like to remind people that Gary and Dane, Gary Douglas and Dane here, Dr. Dane here, Gary's the founder of Access Consciousness, also have a show, and that is on Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific on the Value of Controversy. So thank you, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Value of Controversy. What questions did we create for you today? Write in and tell us. Please join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about us, please visit our website at thevalueofcontroversy.com. Until our next show, be controversial and have a great week.